Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam, and I'm joined again this week by Jeffy. How you doing, Jeffy?
Hey, everyone. I'm doing great. Thanks. Good to be back. Excited to talk some more toe.
Yeah. Jeffy, real quick, plug your Instagram so people can follow you.
Oh, my God. Please follow me all socials, honestly, at JESHEFFIE. I wish I was famous enough to have at Jeffy, but unfortunately, I am not.
Listen, we're working on it.
We're working on it.
We're working on that behind the scenes for sure. You know, the at Cam on Instagram was taken and then deleted. Ooh. So like, my Googling has shown you cannot get a deleted, but here's hoping, manifest.
Here's hoping. Yeah. Manifesting one day.
I think that'd be big for us, you know?
Oh yeah.
Jeffy, it is T minus, like, when this episode goes out, like 5 days, I think, if my math is correct, that we get the album. How are you feeling?
Honestly, it's like snuck up on me. I feel like, because I know we've been talking about in the Discord a little bit about how she hasn't really been promoting it too much other than Insta story here or there for vinyls. And, you know, we finally got the lengths of the songs on the track list when it went up on Spotify. But yeah, I like looked at the date and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we really are at the time of recording, we're a week out, but still, when this goes live, it'll be 5 days. And yeah, I can't believe it's already here.
Now, Taylor posted some lyrics a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So on April 8th, which was the day of the eclipse, which we know eclipses are at least slightly a Taylor thing. I mean, we have it popping up in lyrics like My Eclipse Sun and Hoax. But of course, Reputation Era debuted on the day of the last total solar eclipse in the US. So April 8th is the day of the eclipse. And it's also a year to the day that she publicly announced the breakup with Joe. It is also Maddie Healy's birthday.
So many things. April 8th is a crazy day.
Right. So she posted these to her. People assume they're lyrics. I think that's a fair assumption, although who knows for sure. But she posted, crowd goes wild at her fingertips, half moonshine, full eclipse. So when I hear, okay, I hear full eclipse, I think Reputation Era, I think. But I also think about blocking things out, loss. I mean, what could this be referencing, do we think?
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is the love blackout.
Mm.
That's something that that could be tied to that. I do definitely think their lyrics, because the couplet sounds very rhymey a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Eclipse with whatever the other word was.
Sure. Yeah.
Fingertips. Yeah. Tips, eclipse. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, eclipses are pretty dramatic. You know, it's the moon going in front of the sun. It's a big dark orb in the sky. Like, there's tons of symbolism in them that I could see that she's alluding to.
There's also the lyrics, half moon eyes. Right, that's from Question, which is supposed to be about Maddie, like, according to her. And I do agree, Maddie does have this sort of, you know, his eyes are always a little closed, always a little askew because he's like always on drugs, I guess, or drunk,
maybe, right? Yeah.
I don't know. And it's on Maddie's birthday, but then again, it's also on the day that she broke up with Joe. I hate Taylor.
She's so
how am I supposed to keep up with it? I feel like slightly insane. Like every episode I do, I feel like I get a little more crazy because it's just always something with her. You know what I mean? You have to keep up with all these dates. You have to, anyway, you guys get the drill, right? We all follow Taylor here. We're all sort of obsessed, but also just wrapped, I guess. But the half moon total eclipse, is the half moon Maddie and the total eclipse Joe, like going back to the rep era, like is eclipse, that's Joe, but then the half moon eyes, the half moon lit is like crowd goes wild at her fingertips. Well, that's Taylor.
Yeah.
And is that the Eras Tour? Is this song about the breakup, about that day, maybe? Right? Crowd goes wild at her fingertips.
Crazy.
That's Eras Tour. You know what I mean? Which she was on when the breakup was announced, although I think she had that weekend off, but breakup gets announced April 8th. Maddie's birthday. Joe breakup is announced. She's on Eras Tour. Crowd goes wild at her fingertips. And then is the half moonlight Maddie and the total eclipse like a new love blackout? And then I've also seen people say glitch, like, we were supposed to be just friends. I was supposed to sweat you out. Is that actually about Maddie? Because if you do a little, if you do a little time finagling, like you could say the timing between glitch and 2020 and 2014 would be the right amount of days. So of course, 2014 is like when Maddie's first in her life. And then, I mean, we covered the timeline. I feel like he was not back in her life more regularly until 2021. No, yeah. 2022. When Midnights came out, they were sort of going back and forth.
He was in the studio with her a few times.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that 100% that it works, but like the love blackout glitch is kind of an eclipse.
Yeah, the day, the number of days seemed, I'm crazily enough getting more and more inclined to believe, at least also from what we've heard in the Discord as well, potentially that there are a few songs on here that are going to be Maddie Healy. And I'll be surprised that there is going to be any, really, because I want to say Swifties kind of scared her off of Maddie. So it's kind of, it's interesting territory for her to dive into, I guess.
Yeah. So we had a friend come through the Discord. I'm not going to say details, but they said basically this, they had a friend who has a friend who heard the album because of where they work. And they said, it's insane. And by insane, they mean like, it's really good. Just like people will be calling it her magnum opus. People will be calling it like her biggest mark on music, maybe that kind of vibe. And they also said, Love of My Life is about Maddie Healy.
There has to, like, unless there's literally something so obvious in there, like I can't imagine being so certain about a song being about someone like that.
There must be. And then I'm like, and that it wasn't tongue in cheek and it didn't stand for something else, that it was
exactly.
Like, no, Maddie Healy was the love of my life. And it's just like, gosh, Taylor, I know you're like a little reactive, a little anxiously attached, a little excitable when it comes to love, but like, God.
Yeah.
And then to put the song out when she's with Travis, what is that? What is that all going to be?
That's another aspect. Like, we're talking about Joe, we're talking about Maddie. We haven't even considered the fact that she is in an active, real relationship with this man right now.
Right. What is going to happen? And it's like, gosh, are the contents of the album going to be so intense it causes problems for Travis and Taylor? I actually would not be shocked. Right. We've been saying, like, we're personally, I am pulling for Taylor and Travis. If they rock up and get married here in a couple years, Taylor has a cute little baby. If that's what she wants, I don't need that from her. Like, I just need more music from her. That's all I want from her. But like, if she wants a family and she does it, like, I'm pulling for it. Hooray. That's going to be fun. I want to see the wedding photos. Who's the bridesmaids? You know what I mean?
Like, it'd be so great. So fun.
Right. It's going to be the event of the century if she's open about it. Like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm pulling for it. If they make each other happy, I'm pulling for it. However, there was something about everything that transpired over the Super Bowl, anything specifically that happened, but just, I talked about this with, we did the Taylor and Travis timeline a couple episodes back. Go listen to it if you haven't. It was me and Shannon from Fluently Forward. And we were both just like, something's feeling off about it now. It's like, I have trouble seeing it lasting. Just knowing the kind of difference that they probably have in their personalities and knowing the culture that Travis has been woven into for years, like, it's just hard to imagine Travis doing monogamy. Maybe that's like unfair of me. Am I selling him short? Am I saying, you know, and maybe Taylor doesn't even want monogamy. Like, we've dabbled in all those ideas, but like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just, what is this album kind of pressure and kind of magnifying glass? What is this album gonna do to, you know, Taylor
their
relationship,
right? Yeah, like, right. Yeah, I remember you and Shannon talking about, and I did agree with a lot of, like, especially some of the, like, with the Super Bowl, just the very intimate, like, almost intimate but very public conversation that they had, like, with between the exchange they had. I don't even want to say conversation, like, moment they had. It puts a weird taste in my mouth for them, and I can't really explain why either.
Is it just because we're not used to it? Is it just, like,
are we too gay?
Yeah. Or was it just too much like heterosexual energy in the room to like, or bisexual, whatever. But like, is it that we just got so used to her and Joe acting like the other didn't even exist that it just feels wrong. In an inherent level? And if that's the case, okay, that's on us. Like, that's, you know what I mean? That was very much, I think that the way that relationship was framed was very much had to do with Joe definitely had to do with Joe. I go out on a limb here and say Joe's insecurities, Joe's sort of, you know, inability to sort of cope with the fact that Taylor is who she is, and his almost rejection of that part of her life. Like, I don't want to go too far. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we should be getting pitchforks and like threatening Joe Alwyn's life, like some other Taylor podcasts have done recently. I do think it's very clear that he was not suited to deal with being her boyfriend. And maybe we just got so used to that, that now she is just like, I'm just done hiding. It's, if he's mic'd up, but I want to talk to my boyfriend, I'm going to talk to him. Maybe it's fine. But I also understand something about it just fell off, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I've always had a bit of my reserves with Travis just because I'll admit it. It's purely bias / stereotyping of the fact that he's a football player, but I still have always been reserved with it, but I'm also in the same boat with you. Like, if Taylor is happy and he's treating her right, then I can't complain at all.
Yeah. And I just think overall, like, a relationship like that gets tested, you know, a relationship in the public eye gets tested, and it gets tested when they soft launch. It gets tested when the first sort of, you know, they get asked about each other in interviews. It gets tested when either of them really does anything, right? Travis's old tweets, that's a test to get through, like all of this stuff. And, you know, Travis's behavior at the Super Bowl, both like bad. We saw some kind of, you know, angry outbursts and some icky stuff, but then also really cute. Like when he was like, you know, pointing at her in the club and they had "You Belong With Me" on. It was like, that was such a good fucking moment. I loved it. Maybe I'm corny. Maybe I'm a loser, but I loved it. This is going to be a test for them. So I think that's going to be, we've talked about, oh, we want the tea on Joe. Maybe we want the tea on Maddie. Like, who's it all going to be about? Who's the love of her life? Like, what is it? But also, how is it going to affect Taylor and Travis?
Yeah, exactly. How will he handle it? It's going to be another test, like you said. I can't imagine all of this, because obviously with Taylor, she said like her songwriting is the most vulnerable she is with us and the public. And yeah, we're going to learn a lot. And I'm very curious to see what will happen with their relationship after it releases. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting to see what happens with that. We're going to jump back into the Toe timeline here. But first, let me say, what do we have coming up on Album Week on the Patreon? So starting today, we're going to have 4 episodes, and then we're going to have like a series of like reaction content as well. So if you're like wanting to hear my first thoughts on the songs, Friends of the Pod's first thoughts on the songs, I believe we'll be getting a music video, because I got that tea about, oh, she shot a music video. So I think... Hopefully with the new album, we will get a music video. If not the day it comes out, like sometime.
She better give us one. We haven't had any since Speak Now, Taylor's version.
Yeah. So it's time. Crazy. It's time. So we'll be breaking down music videos. We'll be breaking down lyrics. We'll be breaking down the album aesthetic and the art that comes along with it. All of it. We'll be breaking it down. So the episodes we're going to do leading up to the album, just so you guys know, so if you're interested, I think today I have an episode with Tori going up where we talked about the four horsemen of like relationship problems, where it's like this psychologist came up with this. So there's a psychologist named Dr. John Gottman, and he said that if you see these things in a relationship, you're like, it's probably in trouble. Like this either needs to be addressed or the relationship will probably end. But it's criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt. So we had kind of a loosey-goosey like flow of consciousness conversation about like, is that showing up for Taylor and Joe and Taylor's music? Surprise, it did. And then
big surprise,
we talked about like JoJo Siwa for a second. We talked about horror movies and torture, like what did they call it? Like torture porn, like movies like Saw and all that, you know, because
very gory. Yeah.
Right. And we talked about like some medieval torture methods. So we just kind of went through a lot of different silly little things.
Little fun grab bag of stuff.
We talked about, we did some toe analysis, and then we talked about torture because it's the torture bones department. It's on
as
topic.
You should. Yeah, it is.
Also this week on the Patreon leading up to the album drop, we have a deep dive from Sim, who did the Taylor's timeline and has helped me with a couple other episodes. She came on and told us everything we need to know about Claire Beau, who of course has a very interesting history. And I think it's going to be important seeing when we get the song. Like, I think there's some things that in Clara that Taylor definitely sees in herself. And we're going to talk about that. So we talked about that deeply in that episode. So I think that'll help everybody get ready for the album. We are going to do a British meals food ranking episode, because why not? That's going to be with Gabby. Me, Kara is coming to town in like 2 weeks, like 10 days from now, like very 10 days from now when we're recording this. So we are also going to do a British snacks taste test. I brought a bunch of British snacks back. I meant to mail them to Kara and then life just, you know, got in the way. And so I was like, it's cheaper if we just do it here. So we're going to have a British snacks taste test like a week after the album comes out. So that'll be really fun. And me and Kara will be in person, which is always fun for us to record. And then me and Kara are also going to do an episode I'm entitling Project Dive Bar. As many as some of you know, some rumors about Joe went around on TikTok. I talked to the person who was sharing the rumors. At first, I found them to be very credible. Then as like I kind of continue to sort of just try to see if they were credible or not. And in the end, my gut instinct was telling me they were not credible as a source. However, they had me thinking about some ideas about Joe and problems that he and Taylor could have had in the relationship. I'm going to expand on that in this this series I'm going to call Project Dive Bar, where we kind of explore different themes in Taylor's music and what it could mean about Joe, even though it's not hard proof of anything. But and then of course after we get the album, we're gonna be having some really fun conversations about the lyrics and the album. So that's Patreon. Sorry that took so long. With all that said, let's jump into the Toe timeline and happy album week to everybody.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in 2017. Go ahead and head on over to You Are In Love's Tumblr. If you search You Are In Love's Taylor and Joe timeline or Toe timeline in Google, you should be able to find it. And I will also have it linked in the show notes. But this is Taylor and Joe in 2017. So the first thing we get is on January 3rd, we get that journal entry. Now, we've gone over this journal entry a few times, but it's basically Taylor talking about, you know, being scared about the future, but everything's okay. We've been together for 3 months and just breathe. Everything's going to be okay. Now, Gaylors love to say that this journal entry was written out like angel wings, Lily's angel wings, Carla. I don't know that I think that the way it's written means anything. But she also refers to Joe as her angel boyfriend. So like, even if it was, you can really make that about anybody. And I also just think maybe it's a bit of an Easter egg because we don't even know that all these journal entries are legit. Maybe it's like an Easter egg for the lover murals that she does with the butterfly wings. Like, who knows for sure. But if we believe Taylor, this is when she is 3 months with Joe for this timeline, you know, as we assume Joe is the main muse and the main person she's around, which I think is a fair assumption, but who knows. But
and I feel like it's clear through this journal entry that, I mean, even from 3 months in, there still is this, I don't know, like anxiety, like weaved through the words, like even the last sentence, like someday not, you know, worrying about someday not being happy when I am happy now, period. Okay, period. Breathe, period. Like it feels very much like she's trying to convince herself that she's happy.
I hope I never lose you. I hope this never ends, right? I never want, like, I want it to stay that way because I don't want anything about this to change or to become too complicated or intruded upon, but it's senseless to worry about someday not being happy when I am happy now. Okay, breathe. Yeah, like the funny thing is a lot of people think this journal entry is faked for like different reasons.
That is a fair take too. Like a lot of the lover diary entries, you could just chalk up to her, you know, strategically placing them for reasons.
Yeah. These people, this is, I've never seen this theory, but this says it's possible that the page was taken out of a scrapbook rather than a diary. That would explain why the scans have blank spaces in them because the Polaroids in there would have been taken out. So it's like, what if Taylor was jotting down notes about the year in a scrapbook and there's pictures around this, but of course they were just taken out for the, okay, maybe it's faked. Obviously Taylor did sell these journals, you know? So it's, which I actually don't find that outrageous because she certainly sells us her life story and her music. So it's like, why would the journals like, but I'm kind of open to a lot of different ideas. Regardless, I do think this is like the truth about how Taylor was feeling. Like, I kind of do just think these are genuine thoughts that she probably had about Joe. Let's jump to January 11th. Taylor is seen leaving the gym in LA. Afterwards, she goes to Conway Studios and writes Dancy with her hands tied. At the time, both fans and media outlets make a big deal out of the photos because it's the first time she'd been passed in 6 weeks. So here's somebody who attended the Rep Secret sessions, and they're going to tell you what Taylor, according to them, said about the song. This person says, I don't think I've really seen anyone post about the meaning behind this song, even though everything else has come out. It's actually really funny because Dancing with Our Hands Tied has become the most misunderstood song on rap. Let's clarify. Taylor set it up by saying the inspiration for that song came when she was back in LA after spending several months out of the public eye. As we know, she basically spent all this time in the UK with Joe without anyone knowing she was in a relationship. Back in LA, I think for work, she went to the gym only to be caught out by the paparazzi on her way out. The pap shouted all kinds of things at her, including comments about her weight. And this is the first time she's seen in months, so, and nobody even knew she was in a relationship. She described being really overwhelmed by the experience, but that her thought process was less about herself and more about how she could possibly have a normal relationship when this was in her life. Taylor actually said that after the incident, she went straight to the recording studio, cried, and wrote this song. For the record, I'm pretty sure she was describing this day in January 2017. In terms of how this led to the song, I think in the past we know Taylor has made comments like who would sign up for this, but this was more of a who would stick around for this kind of situation. It's important to remember that Taylor describes this relationship as being different to any relationship she had been in before. Firstly, nobody knew they were together, and secondly, this person had signed up to be with her despite everything. I think I remember Taylor saying something along the lines of feeling like she had something permanent that she needed to protect. I've seen a lot of people say Dancing with Our Hands Tied is a breakup song, but it's not at all. It's about a bunch of internalized doubts Taylor had about her ability to be in a long-term relationship after being brought to the surface quite suddenly. In the song, she isn't questioning the relationship because things are going badly. She's questioning it because things are going well, and she's scared that she's going to destroy it by the virtue of who she... It's hard for me to read this. It's hard for me to read this because I just do not see this in the song at all. And I'm not saying that it's impossible that this is how the song was inspired, but gosh, does it not make sense to me?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's pretty clear that this is a... I mean, I understand the yeah, maybe it's her and the current and the media and stuff, but I do feel like she's talking very much about like a past relationship, like if I could do that, if I could dance with you again, like if we could, yeah, do this again, not if our dancing continued.
Yeah. So the story basically ends with like, she went and wrote the song and then she went to like, go tell Joe, like, we can't do this, the paps, this and that. And they kind of had a conversation where, according to like Swifties on Twitter, who are, you know what I mean? The conversation they had is Joe was like, what are we going to do? Break up? No way. You know, which is interesting. Let's take this at face value, though. It's the Cho timeline. Let's act like for sure the song is about Joe. And it very well maybe, I mean, it makes sense to really matches up to other situations in her life and makes more sense from other perspectives, in my opinion. But that's okay. Let's say it does. Great. It's really interesting that just paps catching her out and yelling at her, which I'm not saying is not uncomfortable. I'm not saying it's not unfortunate. Certainly if they're making comments on her body, Taylor, who suffers from an eating disorder, should not have to deal with that. And that is traumatizing and fucked up. However, it's certainly something she's used to at this point. And just the idea that like, yeah, Joe wouldn't be able to handle all this. He would, it's not worth it for him to be with me to deal with all this. Sorry, hate to say it. I know the way like people tell the story, it's like, you know, she tried to break up with him and he was just like, no, we can.
Yeah.
Gosh, she was so insecure in that relationship that's now, you know, committed as far as we can tell. And it's been together for, you know, committed for 3 months and they were hanging out for months before that. So like, she's just... this anxiety, this imbalance in her life, like where Joe just doesn't fit. And she's just reckoning with that. She's just wrestling. She's just wrestling with that, that,
yeah,
oh gosh, the paps yelled at me, I need to break up with Joe. Like, that's not a secure situation.
I agree. Yeah, it definitely, like if something like what could potentially, I mean, like, yes, they did say like it had been 6 weeks since they'd seen her. So like it was maybe a little bit more intense of a pap moment than normal. But like you said, this is not like, you know, Fearless era. This is Reputation, where album 7, right? 6, 7.
This is after 1989 took the world by storm and made her exactly one of the biggest pop stars in the world, right? Like
paps doing that stuff, like I could definitely see her going home and being frustrated and being upset at the paparazzi, but I don't fully see how that would affect her and Joe's relationship, especially with the fact that Joe at this time is trying to be an up and coming actor. So I don't know why she would see this fame as a potential deterrent. Like, the fame should be something that he would almost want. And maybe she, it would be a different angle of like, oh, I'm worried maybe he's only into me because of the fame.
Yeah, I feel like that's even like a more something that I think would be more reasonable to be anxious about. Of course, our anxieties don't always have to be reasonable. Like, I want to make room for like Taylor and Joe to like have their sort of own quirks and like their own, mm-hmm. like we do things that don't always make sense.
Yeah, humans make no sense.
Like, I do shit and it's like, why would you do that? You know, it's like, that doesn't get you closer to your goals. That doesn't help you in any, but it's like, we do things. Sometimes we just do things. Like, I think it's really weird that Joe like wants to be an actor, a really successful, highbrow, Oscar baity kind of actor, yet he has no interest in any kind of public life. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. But again, it doesn't have to. Like, he has his own thoughts when it comes to that. You know what I mean? So I do feel like sometimes as like pop culture prognosticators and gossipers, we can just be like, well, this doesn't make sense. And we can kind of make an argument for it, but it's like, humans don't make sense. It doesn't matter. Exactly. It doesn't, right? So, but like, the thing about the song to me, it's just so explicitly about a relationship that is no longer together and did not work out. And it's just, if it is about Joe, that's really intense. Now, one thing that kind of like, I'm like, okay, maybe it is the song Peace.
That's the same vein. Yeah.
Yeah. What if I could never give you peace? Now, to me, Dance With Our Hands Tied is about a relationship that ended because so many people were talking about them and putting pressure on them. And while the Pats came and put pressure on Taylor, nobody was putting pressure on Taylor and Joe at this point, regardless.
Funnily enough, though, you mentioning the media pressure, and we're talking about folklore, I guess, a little bit. The Lakes is kind of that additional like media. Like, I would say The Lakes and Peace are two songs that I would attribute to Joe and the media feelings around Taylor and their relationship. Whereas with Dancing With Our Hands Tied, if it had come out on Midnights, yeah, I would definitely believe it to be Joe. But
yeah,
it coming out on Reputation, the alleged pre-lover album, right? Like, it's meant to be, you know, talking about the beginnings of their relationship, or maybe the ones that ended in 1989. I would rather, yeah, I definitely feel like it's probably more for a prior relationship.
It's kind of interesting too. The lyrics, I loved you in secret, loved someone she's no longer loving. First sight, yeah, we love without reason. But what about cat and mouse for a month or two or three? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it is a lot.
Did you love at first sight, or was it cat and mouse for a month or two or three? And I'm not saying it can't be both.
Yeah.
But Dance With Our Hands Tied is interesting.
Yeah, it's the same thing with, I mean, tying it back to Glitch as well. We were supposed to be best friends, and Joe, that's why I don't think we can attest it to Joe with the days that line up with Reputation.
I've always had trouble believing she and Joe were best friends. Maybe that was like a joke they had. Like, no, we're not dating. We're just best friends. We can't know. I will say there is a big sort of skeleton of music, of these themes that go from Reputation to Lover to Folkmore and into Midnight. And it's like, to me, it's like, oh, no, I see it. I see the Joe in a lot of this.
Same.
So, you know, songs like Delicate to Cornelia Street, Cruel Summer, like a lot of it, I see it. You know what I mean? And there's these themes she hits on again and again, but it's like Dance With a Hand Tied has never matched up but that's okay. I think that's okay. And not everything has to make sense to me personally. And the thing is if Dancing With Our Hands Tied is about Joe, it really just serves, you know, to further our point that we're making in this series, which is like, it's been bad since the start. Like, it was always anxiety ridden. It just, you know, those four horsemen of the relationship were sort of always there. And like, yeah. So that's the story behind Dance With Our Hands Tied. They allege that in mid-January, Taylor probably wrote Don't Blame Me around this time, given some pictures we have of her in the studio. On January 29th, Joe posts a Polaroid on Instagram. It's a picture of him in a jacket in some trees. And that picture is also included in the Reputation magazine. You can just sort of see a blurry outline of it, but it's very much, it is that picture. And Taylor also posts photos from the same trip. It's later found out they were staying at Stella McCartney's farm in the UK. So this is probably where we got some of that.
Stella McCartney.
Yeah, well, that lyric, you know,
Sorry.
perhaps, I mean, Taylor had to deal with her, right? That
Yeah,
she
I'm
was,
sh yeah.
yeah, a fashion situation with her. But this is where we get some of the like vertical video that gets included, probably in,
Miss Americana.
yeah, Miss Americana. They're in jackets. And so we get a lot of pictures in the Rep magazine and some kind of other places. On February 9th, in an interview with the Evening Standard UK, Joe avoids a question about his relationship status. So, oh my God, this is the ugliest picture I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to send it to you right now. Holy shit. Not to be a hater, Joe. Not to jump on the Joe bandwagon, but what is that picture?
The article writer had it out for him. Oh my
That is
goodness.
fucked up.
That's so messed up. Like he's half, like he looks like he's trying to do a pose, but he's half blinking. Like, oh.
That is fucked up.
Oh.
Like, how does he have so many wrinkles on his face? He's like 22, 24, and at this, okay, 26.
He's my age. Oh gosh. That's just a rough picture. It looks like he's mid-speech. Yeah, the article writer definitely had it out for him.
Yeah, so
Because there's like further down, there's a cute one of him in his shirt.
yeah, the
Looks
article
nice.
is called Joe Alwyn, the Crouchin' Boy Taking Hollywood by Storm, which Joe Alwyn has been taking Hollywood by storm for years now. It's impressive at this point. But they did ask about that. They just included a line that says, "No, he won't be telling us his relationship status." Yes, he really should get a place of his own, but he's in no rush to leave the sanctity of his mom and dad's. His mates are still mates he's had from the age of 12.
His mates.
Yeah, his mates met all his best
Even
mates.
in that article, it sounds like he does not want to be famous.
I know, I don't know. I mean, listen, living with your parents is great, I guess.
It's a move, definitely, unless you're dating soon to be billionaire Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, he's being a little, you know, he's not saying his relationship status, which is fine. On February 18th, somebody tweets about being pretty sure they just saw Taylor walking around Oxford Street in London. They tweeted, "If it wasn't the real Taylor Swift, I swear she has a clone in London. American accent and all. Maybe had a wig on. Pretty sure I was just next to Taylor Swift on Oxford Street." So they also said she had workout clothes on, so I assumed she was going to the gym or just come from there, had a cap and a low ponytail of darker hair. I obviously didn't think anything of it, but the girl had and an older guy came up walking fast behind us, and my friend was on the phone. Basically, they just think, you know, they heard this American accent, they went and looked, and they swore it sounded just like Taylor, and they thought it was her.
I could believe it, but I'd want pictures.
Yeah, and they didn't have any, but
Yeah.
whatever. She's spending time in London now. Maybe it was her. It is reported she's in London. On February 29th, Karen Fairchild, who's part of Little Big Town, says that Taylor isn't there to play better man with them because she's in London. So, fair enough. On March 3rd, Joe gets cast in The Favourite. Wonder if Taylor had anything to do with that.
I wonder with Emma Stone.
Yeah. And well, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how all that works. I have had someone told me if Joe gets cast, it's because his agents went and got him the role. It's not like, you know what I
It's the
mean?
actors don't hire actors thing that I've seen
Right.
Nepo babies say.
Right. But I have also heard from a different source that anytime Taylor talks to anyone, she's pitching Joe for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
So.
sure, like, obviously the decision's going to come down to the director, but with any workspace, you know, you can. If so and so knows the person who's coming to join the team, you could be like, hey, how do you know this person? Will they fit in well? Do you think they'd be a good for the set? You know, I feel
Right.
like Emma Stone at this point might maybe had met him or maybe knew some things if her and Taylor were close. And you know, it she obviously wasn't making a decision, but she might have been able to put in a few good words.
I think it's Emma Stone putting in good words. Is that a favor to Taylor? Is that right? It's hard to know for sure, but
Tons of factors for
it is
sure.
interesting that a lot of Joe's roles have come in the vicinity of Taylor's close friends. Your Emma Stones, your Lena Dunhams, that sort of thing. So interesting. Also, is it true he hasn't booked a single job since they broke up?
It's a good question. I fully have not kept up with him ever since they broke up. Yeah, that's,
I've
I'm not
read
sure.
that several times, but it's like from angry Swifties who I do not trust. So
Yeah.
it's like, you know what I mean? He has stuff coming out. Even one of his projects is premiering at Cannes. Kinds of Kindness, is that it? So like that could be pretty lit. I don't know, but I've read, take it with a grain of salt, but I've read he has not booked a single thing since they broke up.
Wow. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised because it's like, I don't know, you don't want to run yourself afoul of the Swifties.
Yeah, and I mean, I gotta give it. I mean, maybe yeah, he's scared of the Swifties, but I feel like I want to give him a little bit of credit for maybe not being,
No,
maybe
I mean, but
not.
I mean casting directors or whoever, like,
Oh yeah, like trying not to get on the bad side of Swifties.
well, it's just like you want Swifties to go to your project because like there's a
True.
lot of Swifties. You cut yourself off from Swifties, you're cutting yourselves off from hundreds of millions of people.
I am curious, would it be a deter? Would it be something that, like, I don't know. I feel like obviously, like, there's going to be Swifties who would boycott it because it's Joe, especially if the music that comes out implies that he was miserable, like terrible, terrible. But I also wonder if there's a fan base that would be like, oh, I want to see what happens. Like, is he going to be good? Is it going to be terrible? You know, a few hate watches here or there.
Yeah, it's hard to know for sure, but like at the other side of it, it's not just that people don't want to like run afoul of Swifties, but it's also like how many of those parts was Joe getting because people were saying, oh, I mean, he's Taylor Swift boyfriend. That's not the worst
Right.
thing to have on your cast because it would have some Swifties coming to support. And, you know, I mean, Taylor has promoted at least one of his projects. She posted to Instagram about conversations with friends. It kind of made a big deal of it.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, we've seen with the NFL what she can do for viewership. I
Right?
mean, it's crazy.
Precisely. Excellent
Yeah.
point. You nailed it there. So maybe that was the only thing getting in parts in the first place. Because not to be a hate, I don't think he's particularly talented. You know what I mean?
We
Like,
swear we're not Joe haters.
I'm not a Joe hater. I have criticisms for him, but I have criticisms for Taylor. I have criticisms for
Same.
everybody. Like, I don't want him dead, but I don't think he's particularly good at acting.
Yeah, no, I agree. Unfortunately, I think he I hope he does well with whatever he ends up choosing, but yeah, I don't see
I think
him.
he should stick to songwriting.
Yeah, he should actually. I mean, if he's writing that stuff on Folklore, please, please,
Are
yeah,
you kidding
give
me?
it to
Fully
us,
formed
Joe.
chorus of Betty? Are you
Ah.
kidding me? Just
The
sat
love
down
triangle.
and played Exile on the piano? Are you kidding? I need more of that from
After
him.
not having a single musical bone in his body, like he's a legend.
He's a genius. Okay, so May 14th, Taylor gets papped because it's Mother's Day and paps go to Andrea's Nashville home. So, all right, cool. TMZ also publishes photos of her leaving Nashville on a charter later that day, reporting she went back to London. She's been a lot of time in London. That makes sense. On May 16th, The Sun reports that Taylor and Joe have been dating for months. Taylor Swift has a secret Brit actor boyfriend, Joe Alwyn, and the pair have been dating for months. Remarkably, she has been spending days at a time in London, disguising herself, wearing a wig in a bid to keep the romance under wraps. A source said, Taylor and Joe are the real deal. This is a very serious relationship. So this happens, and everybody's like, what? Who is this guy? This isn't true. This is just another like tabloid rag, blah, blah,
The sun
blah.
enters the chat.
That's the thing about The Sun. Is like the Sun is such a fucking rag.
It really is.
But for some reason, they have tea on Taylor sometimes.
And apparently, maybe we're the, you know, breaking ground on her and Joe's relationship. And also, they were the first to report them breaking up, right?
I think so. Or they were the first to
Or insider.
report, they were first, definitely the first to report on Taylor and Maddie stuff.
Yes.
So whatever it is, I don't know if Tree has some kind of soft spot for them or some kind of, you know, quid pro quo, like we'll give you guys the scoop if you'll, you know, back off on certain
Yeah,
things.
or it's Joe's team.
It could be Joe's team. Yeah, I could see that as well. It is starting to be reported, although a lot of people are skeptical, particularly the Kaylers are like, this is so stupid. No,
This
it's
is
not. This
fake.
is fake. Right. Ready for It was probably written around this time in May because we see her in the studio. So maybe in Sweden at Max Martin's studio, because we know she was in Europe and she is pictured in Max Martin's studio. Cool. She
Yeah.
working on the album. On June 1st, Taylor and Joe are spotted getting on a plane to leave the UK. They stay in LA for a few days and then they go to Nashville.
Spotted is a strong word because these are two people in just black hoodies and sweatpants, which it probably is them. But I do have to admit, spotted is a strong word.
Oh, I recognize Joe's pert little butt and sweatpants
pert little butt.
Anywhere. He's got that pert little butt.
Yeah.
Walking up those plane stairs. But yeah, according to the Daily Mail, it is them. And then, of course, they are sort of proven right because June 3rd, Taylor and Joe have breakfast or coffee on the balcony of her Nashville penthouse apartment.
And they do look cute.
Yeah, this is kind of the first time they are really actually seen together is just June 3rd. Presumably maybe went to spend some time with Andrea or the family or just check out Nashville. Green was the grass, right? I mean, I feel like if they spent time reading at Centennial Park, it was on this trip.
That is probably true, yeah. And if they've been getting into the disguises and everything, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're going and doing some of that stuff around the area.
Yeah, which like drives me nuts because I lived here at the time.
I know, yeah, it's crazy.
Anyway, June 11th, Joe flies back to London in Taylor's private jet. He's like seen getting off the jet. And on June 18th, Taylor spends Father's Day in London with Joe and his family. Let's see what the source is on this. This is like a Daily Mail report from sources. They had a Sunday roast. Very well could be true. No receipts or anything, but like, sure, you know, works for me. June 30th, they go to Rhode Island for the 4th of July party, but I don't think we got any like pictures of Joe at that party, but like they are seen getting off the jet, so he was there. And then July 15th, Endgame is written around this time, as Ed Sheeran later confirms that they started working on it when he was in Connecticut for his Divide tour and Taylor was staying in Rhode Island. Okay, so Endgame gets worked on. And also, by the way, about that 4th of July, I actually don't think Taylor had a party that year. I think she might have had a couple of close friends and family or just her and Joe enjoying the beach, but she did not throw Tay America because she was disillusioned with like America because of the Trump election, which like who could blame her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. She didn't really host the party till post-pandemic, right? Yeah, this past summer.
Yeah, I feel like it was just this past summer and she did it to celebrate American independence from Joe.
Let's go.
I don't know. She might have had some gatherings there. I don't recall anyone making a big deal about them until this past year because she was like, Independence Day, Selena was there, like whatever.
Yep, it was cute.
Yeah. July 24th, Joe and Taylor were seen going into a gym in New York City and they returned wearing matching Nikes. So whatever that means.
The foot crew is out for them right now. Dang.
August 21st, Taylor forms the Ready For It music video. And we get from the making of video, she says, place the 89 and 91 next to each other, which of course is representative of Taylor and Joe. She's born in 1989. Mm-hmm. He's born in 1991. She loves a little number game. Great. And classic. On August 27th, I guess, is that when Look What You Made Me Do was released? Because we get the music video. Taylor wears a new version of the Junior Jules t-shirt and Patrick is written on the left shoulder, referring to Patrick Alwyn, Joe's younger brother. And she confirmed this on Tumblr. She liked a post about how this was like a shout out to Patrick.
Yeah, it was August 25th is the Look What You Made Me Do video, I think is the date, but pretty close.
There you go. And that's around the last total solar eclipse that was in the continental U.S.
Mm-hmm.
On September 3rd, Ready For It is released. Taylor likes a lyrics analysis post confirming that the song is about Joe. They have a source linked and it goes to nothing. A deleted Tumblr post. So whatever. On September 4th, they actually have a picture of this. Taylor likes this post. It says mood. Taylor saying she forgets the name of her exes in Ready For It because she's finally found the right guy. So she likes that post. And on September 9th, they're seen returning to Taylor's apartment in New York City after going out to dinner. And this is that picture. Joe is like running in front of her, not with her at all. And Taylor's sort of scurrying behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And people are making a lot of this picture these days because like he looks kind of lame for doing that. Right.
Yeah. Classic Joe butt in the way, though, them in their black sweaters again.
Yeah. Okay. This is interesting. In mid-September, Taylor writes and records So It Goes. In Grammy interviews done later, co-writer Oscar Gores talks about how the song was written. He says it was a final track done with Max and Shellback. who both worked on Half a Reputation. Max and Shellback did half the album with her in LA, and I had done this instrumental track, which is weird too, because I don't do tracks. No one really does tracks on our team now, but I've started that idea. Shellback was looking through things on his computer, listened to that track, and Taylor reacted to it saying, oh, what's that? That's special. I haven't done anything like that. Can we do that? So they were vibing and doing melodies, and Taylor had the lyrics. She wrote everything quickly. I woke up. This is the funny part of the story. And someone is FaceTiming me. It's 6:30 in the morning. I've just had a child. I was up all night and my eyes were bloodshed. My hair was crazy. Well, that makes it sound like it definitely was written in 2017.
Yeah.
Why do I ever trust Gaylors for anything? Because Gaylors always say the quote is, I just become a father. And when you hear, I've just become a father, you hear, I've just become, I was not a father, meaning I had no children.
Yeah.
And now I have had a child. So I have become a father. Suggesting if that had been the line, if that had been the quote of what he said, that this was his first child. He has two children, and people like looked at the different birthdays of the children. And when it's, I just become a father, you think it's the first child, which was born in 2015. However, if it's, I had just had a child, that could very well be the second one. Not to mention, he says like they did half the album with her in LA and then this happened. Well, we know that all happened in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
So it goes. From this interview that they have from Oscar Gores, which they have linked, it's a Grammy interview. Let me pull it up, make sure it's all legit. From Grammy.com/news, although the original interview has kind of passed away, but I'm sure we can find this. He doesn't say, I just become a father. It says, I've just had a child. Why have I never read this?
I didn't even know he quoted about it in 2020, but also interesting because that obviously was around, that was when Folklore won. I'm curious why I guess they were talking about Reputation.
Yeah, so maybe there's multiple quotes, but this one definitely sounds.
Yeah.
Like, I just had a child. So maybe he said become a father in another one. Let's remember, maybe. I don't think English is this guy's first language.
That's fair.
But this interview seems to sort of succinctly say like, no, like, you know. And why would he lie? Like, if Taylor has some big bearding conspiracy and is trying to hide the fact that So It Goes was written in 2015, blah, 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 blah. Like, the writers of the songs are not going to be in on that.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely makes the most sense for it to have happened in mid-September because his second kid was born on September 12th, 2017.
Are you so, come on,
so, like,
guys.
That's way more, it's way more likely that it was written in that year than 2015, especially since it's on Reputation. Like,
interesting that this gets written right then, though, because that just goes to show. I'm going to listen. You can make some arguments about the song being about different people. Fine. But this is the Joe timeline. If this song is about Joe, 1 year in, Taylor's talking about, we break down just a little, but when you get me alone, it's so simple. Like, this is not, oh, we're in a secure lover relationship. This is like, we're still figuring it out. We fight all the time, but we have great sex. Mm-hmm. So what am I supposed to do? Fuck!
Yeah. And if with the people reading into the September 9th picture of him running away, yeah, there's a lot of indications with that song altogether.
Yeah, like him not being the best boyfriend. You know, like kind of just scurrying away, trying to avoid the paps and protect himself, but leaving her behind, which like, come on.
So it goes.
Shit.
Ugh.
Fuck.
Damn. We always knew they were rocky.
Well, we did. And I mean, that's the thing. It's funny. It's like, for a while, you really cannot blame Gaylors for saying the story Taylor's telling about her and Joe is not supported by the music.
Yeah.
Meaning like the story we sort of get in like Lover or her writing, maybe like, just, I once believed, you know, love would be black and white, but it's golden, you know,
daylight,
I've got the golden love and everything's good. Like,
paper rings.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. But I definitely could see it's easy to get blinded by the more positive, upbeat, happy stuff. But then if you really get into the more deep cuts and the emotional, like the very vulnerable songs, yeah, you can just even taking just the lyrics, taking Taylor's life out of it, the lyrics tell a very different story.
Right. That's crazy to me that this really definitely looks like it makes a lot of sense from when this child is born and whatnot for this song to have been written in September of 2017, which, by the way, is just like 2 months before the album came out. But like, she's already written all this Don't Blame Me Love, you know, you're the one I'm gonna love forever. And then she comes back and says, So It Goes. Like, it's not great, you know, you did a number on me, but who's counting, right? And to me, I take that as like a sexy kind of, you did a number on me, but I also take it as like, gosh, you did, like, fuck, we keep fighting. Like, God, you did a number on me with that last fight, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
God. Taylor, is So It Goes on her denial playlist? Because, oh, by the way, we did cover those playlists on the Patreon this past week. If anybody wanted coverage on that, it is on the Patreon. We went through like every playlist and most of the songs we had a conversation about. That was me and Gabby hopped on and did that. So that is there on the Patreon if you want it. But...
Well, I was going to say it can't be on any of the playlists because she only did her owned ones. Yeah. Right, so Reputation's just not in any of it.
Right. Neither is Debut. And that is solely because she just doesn't own any.
It's a money move for sure. Yeah.
This timeline goes on to say, since they did Ready For It, Endgame, and Don't Blame Me in 2017, and I did Something Bad, Delicate, Gorgeous, and Keep My Heart in 2016, it's safe to assume that it was written in 2017. Talking about like the back half of the album or whatever. Because Oscar talks about his newborn baby in the interview, they would have written it around the time his son was born. It most likely replaced another song on the track list.
That's an interesting take.
We also know So It Goes was the last minute addition because in the Rep magazines, the table of contents page in volume 2 doesn't match up with volume 1.
Oh.
Wow. God, you got to give the Swifties credit. Because this is good. This is good. Like, I've never seen a Gaylor put this together.
No, that's so good.
That's really good. Yeah, So It Goes comes in this table of contents, but not, it doesn't match the other one. So it's like they added it in. Interesting. It was most likely changed at least twice, but Taylor's team had forgotten to update these pages. Before So It Goes was added to Rep, the track list was This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things, to Look What You Made Me Do, to Getaway Car. Then once it was added, it was originally between Delicate and Look What You Made Me Do. So yeah, this is a late addition that even as like final arrangements are being made on things like the table of contents for the magazine and that sort of thing, it's being moved around. So even as original prints are being made, like they're throwing this in and adding it.
This is crazy. I'm like, this is insane. I love it.
I'm impressed. I got to give credit where credit is due. On September 29th, Dan Wooten, who originally broke the news of Taylor and Joe being together, so I guess this is person works for The Sun, publishes another article about them staying with Cara Delevingne. They said, Taylor made the trip to England to spend time with Joe's family and friends, and Cara offered to have them at her place in Chiswick. Obviously, Taylor can stay at the world's swankiest hotels, but that's not really her bag. She's trying to keep a low profile with Joe, and staying with Cara has let her do that. Instead of being stopped by fans for selfies, they've been able to come and go totally unnoticed. They can even walk Cara's dog around the local park without anyone batting an eyelid. Things are getting serious between them, and Taylor wants to spend as much time getting to know Joe's world as possible. They can't get enough of each other. Okay, then they say, while Dan generally has reliable info, this story might not be true in hindsight, since we know that they were living in Hampstead from 2016 to 2017, but it's fun to believe anyway. That's interesting. That does make me think somebody was exchanging favors at The Sun. Someone was saying, right, because that's a puff piece. That's like, Taylor doesn't want the hoity-toity hotels. Taylor doesn't want the fancy, you know, shit. She's just happy staying with friends, walking the dog around the park. So... Yeah. I feel like they probably are spending time in London, and for whatever reason, they're sending tips over to this guy, maybe to try and get the press to go over towards Cara's neighborhood to buy them privacy, which is kind of fucked up to do to Cara, but whatever.
Unless she's all in on it, right? I mean,
yeah, she's in on it. I don't know.
I will say that the Hampstead link does go to a no found URL. So I don't know what the proof of they were living in Hampstead is.
That is why I tried to just put so many screenshots of everything in my SwiftCon timeline, because like, Tumblr, man, that's where data goes to die. People just be deleting those blogs.
Yeah, which is terrible.
Yeah. Okay, September 28th, they say it's pretty likely that Joe got Taylor this sapphire eye ring by Zoe Lev for their 1 year, because it's a personal piece and sapphires are the September birthstone. Why though? Like, Taylor wasn't born in September. I guess their relationship was He's born in
I could see
January.
that being a silly cute thing they would do.
Would
Like,
Joe do that? That's some girl bullshit. That's some female,
really?
Not to be misogynist,
No.
that's some dumb
No.
women. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
The Joe gay theories he's never beating.
Yeah, right. That's some gay twink
That's some
behavior
gay
to give her a sapphire because their relationship was born in September.
Babe, our relationship's a Libra, I think. Yeah.
Virgo, Libra.
Virgo? Yeah, Virgo.
I don't know. I actually don't
Yeah,
know.
I have no clue. But that is funny.
Okay, so the vacation photo from the magazines is the first time we see her wearing it, so it's possible this was their anniversary trip. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, Taylor shows up with a ring. It's likely her boyfriend bought it for her.
That's so
Right?
true.
That's fine.
This is also random. What's Taylor's favorite color?
Good question. Like, I know her, like, pink is lover era and
Right,
red
like
is
every
red
era has
era.
different colors, but I'm like curious if maybe it's just as simple as like she loves blue, like with the midnight's blue and stuff. I don't know. That's definitely just another era, but I just was thinking about that just now.
Yeah, I don't know. Is she even allowed to have a favorite color?
Honestly, when you have red as an album, right, and you own Golden, Black and White, this now Muted Black and White. Yeah, you
You
own everything.
own all colors
Pink.
as Taylor Swift. That's the thing. That's what drives me crazy is when people are like, Carly wore a red dress. And it's like, shut up. Like, she didn't invent the color red. You know what I mean? Ugh, anyway.
So funny.
Yeah. Okay. On September 29th, which is allegedly the day after Taylor and Joe's anniversary, Taylor releases a Spotify playlist titled Songs Taylor Loves. Fans have since noticed countless parallels between the playlist and tracks on Reputation. Interesting. Let's see if I can look at these songs. Gosh, it's taking me to the playlist.
It is taking me right to it. Yeah.
Crowded Places by Banks, Dark Side of the Gym by The National, Bad Reputation by Shawn Mendes, Let's Get Married by The Bleachers, I'm trying to see if anything like stands out to me. Any of
Boys
this
by Charlie XCX. I'm obsessed. That song, it goes, I was busy thinking about boys.
The Taylor Swift anthem,
boys.
Honestly.
So it just makes me giggle.
I don't even know that many of these songs. Every Day by Ariana Grande.
I
I
was
know
looking
that.
at that. Yep. Subway Car by Marky Bassey is a good song. Dang, Taylor's got good taste.
Yeah, got some Kesha. Okay.
Drinking Problem.
Oh, Project Dive Bar. Everybody tune into the Patreon to hear more. Cool. None of this like stands out to me. I'd have to spend a lot more time with this playlist to see. Maybe that's a fun bonus idea. Go through this playlist and see where the red flags even in the playlist. You know what I mean?
I would say with the playlist and then maybe tying it to Reputation and Tortured Poets Department, I think could be a good fun time.
Yeah. Interesting. Stand by for that, maybe. Maybe we'll get into it. Because it's like a good, long, interesting playlist.
Yeah, it's solid.
Yeah. Okay. October 11th, Taylor and Patrick Alwyn visit his friend Laura's house and she gets to listen to King of My Heart before it's released. Gosh, Patrick looks just like a little mini Joe. Have you seen how his girlfriend has been making kind of shady posts? Or his ex-girlfriend, I should say.
Joe's?
Patrick's ex-girlfriend.
I have not.
She posted something saying, can't wait for April 19th and Tolerate It was playing in the background. And also last year on July 5th, she posted so true, like basically, this isn't the exact quote, but it was kind of like, I'm independent from the British too, haha, so true queen, or something like that.
I see.
So, you know, is this a girl just like trying to dogpile on the Alwyns to get attention, or are the Alwyn brothers, you know, both toxic? On October 11th, she liked a Tumblr post about the J necklace as well as a post about Patrick. Let me see what this J necklace post is. It said, what necklace were you talking about that she hasn't taken off? Oh, this is from a big Swiftie account. It's the J necklace. They just said, the question is, what necklace were you talking about that she hasn't taken off? And the person responds, heaps of you guys have asked me this, so here it goes. And then they post a dozen pictures of Taylor in the J necklace. So yeah, and apparently Taylor liked it.
I mean, sorry to break it to the fans, but the J necklace is actually Jeffy.
So true.
Me and Taylor have been together since, way before Joe. Like,
Well, what the fuck did you do wrong to her? Because her music has been fucked.
Fuck. I didn't think about that.
Okay, here's another thing that happens around this time. Taylor tells a fan that Joe took pictures of the cats in Reputation magazines and says Meredith hates her but loves him. So the fan says, when I was talking to Taylor, I told her I loved her cats, and she asked if I saw the pictures of them in the magazine because they're so cute, and she said my boyfriend took them. So there you have it, folks. Joe is a cat photographer.
My boyfriend cut them. I
Taylor also liked a post
love
that
it.
said, I really just want to give Joe Alwyn a hug and thank him personally. And then we got the Rhode Island secret sessions and some corny. Taylor's being fucking corny from this night. I don't know that I'm going to go into every detail.
Even her liking the post of give him a hug and thank him personally, like, get up.
Yeah, where's that person now? And how do you feel about Joe Alwyn is my question.
She's so swift. Come on the pod.
Yeah. Joe, come on the pod. Tell us your side of the
Joe,
story.
yeah, come through.
And drop the single from Joe Alwyn one. When are we getting your first album?
All right.
Okay, this person who was at Secret Sessions said, my favorite thing was when she told us about Joe. She didn't name a name. She said that when they first started talking, she used to freak out whenever he texted her, and that made me smiley crying emoji.
Oh, this is interesting. They do say, I do not recall her saying when they met, they were just friends. Parentheses, she had a little crush on him, but kept in touch. So maybe they were friends?
I mean, they're supposed to, but then it's not,
Yeah.
first sight. Yeah, we love without reason or whatever. They say, what did she say about Dance with Our Hands Tied? They said Taylor talked about how they tried to keep the relationship a secret. They had to be careful about everything they did. She said that she was very cautious about having people over and hanging out with them because she wanted to hide this from the media as long as possible. I believe she said some other things, but I can't remember at the moment. I will definitely follow up if I remember more. Okay, this is the thing that sort of gets repeated. When she was showing fans the Ready For It video, she had a music video to show them. Her laptop screen was being projected onto the TV, and the background was a Polaroid of her and Joe from New Year's Eve. They said, well, before she played us behind the scenes of the Ready For It music video, her laptop screen was being shown on the TV, and her background was of her Joe kissing her neck. Also, before explaining Delicate, she was telling us about the first her when she first started going out with him, she was worried he would judge her on her reputation, but he didn't.
The way Swifties text make me laugh too, because the smiley face at the end, like, he didn't care
Yeah.
about her reputation.
A smiley. On October 20th, Taylor likes a post about how every love song on Reputation is about Joe, as well as any love song she writes from now on. Like, it's funny, right? And this is Taylor, though. This is Taylor. Like, and I don't see this and say, like, oh, so fake. I see this and say, well, of course she wrote Love of My Life about Maddie Healy, if that T is correct. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like, of course. This is just our girl. And I think we came to a place where she was like so reserved and she kind of stopped acting. She wasn't in even interacting on social media. And I know she went away like during the rep era, but she kind of even went further away, I feel like. So,
Yeah.
yeah, she liked a post that said, any love song Taylor writes is now about Joe and only Joe. She is so happy, and this is about them and only them. This is confirmed. It's a rule. Joe loves songs from here on out. This goes for all of Reputation. No speculating if it's about Taylor's ex from a million years ago, because I promise you it's not. Joe and Taylor happy. The tea has been served, and Taylor liked it.
Very
Ugh.
aggressive.
That's
Very
so
aggressive.
aggressively corny. That's the thing. It's like I like Taylor so much, but then sometimes Swifties, man, like y'all,
No,
sometimes.
it.
We all are fucking cringy though. You know
We
what?
are.
I unashamedly really like JoJo Siwa's Karma song. Like, it is what it is. We're all fucking losers.
I did unfortunately hear the version that's not her singing, and I do have to admit I do like the song, but I don't love her voice.
Yeah, you're a hater,
I am a
but
hater, but
you're
it's
allowed.
okay.
It's
It's fine.
okay. You're allowed. Swifties say, Tumblr Swifties saying that Taylor has told them that she has showed Joe some of their posts. What a time. Taylor, come back to Tumblr. What a fucking corny
Please.
ass, cringy ass time. I need to live this. I need to live through this.
It is a fun little time capsule to like it's fun slash sad to realize how, open she used to be to fans and, secret sessions and everything. And it is a little sad that she's so big now that she can't really do anything like this.
Yeah. So this timeline includes like a lot more of the same, all about the secret sessions. People saying this song's about Joe, that song's about Joe, Taylor liking Joe memes on Tumblr. It's just a lot of the same. Obviously, come through the timeline and scan through it if you want, but I'm gonna skip to November 10th, Reputation is released in the deluxe edition magazine. Taylor credits Frosty Crew Photography for taking all the personal photos. That is, of course, Joe. Damn. Look at this. There's this one photo of her making a scrapbook, and the Polaroids on the floor live in my head rent free. And there's a picture of Joe, and his lips are bright red.
They really are.
I'm sorry, people who are like, men don't have red lips. It's like, oh, have you never fucked a man? Your face gets flushed. Like, have you never made out with a guy, or have you never fought? Like, faces flush, guys.
Faces get flushed. And I mean, Taylor loves a red lip. Lipstick smears when you're making out. Like, he could get a red lip from her.
Not saying maroon is for sure about Joe or a man, no, or can't be about a woman, but just like that argument.
Also, I mean, straight people can be silly and fun. I mean, it kind of looks like he's holding potentially a lipstick. Maybe they were just being silly, goofy, and she was like, oh my God, this is so funny. Let me take a picture of you with lipstick on.
Gay Joe.
Gay, never, I agree. Jay, but...
gay Joe is never. Okay, on November 10th, we get the iHeart sessions, and Taylor talks about some of the inspirations about the music. And guess what? They're all about Joe. On November 11th, Taylor tweets photos of fans with the album and sneaks a photo of Joe's best friend, Jesse, into her tweet. Jesse, is Jesse a man or a woman?
I think it's the man.
It's a man. Damn it. Yeah. I was going to say, if Joe has a girl best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Are you toxic kidding as hell. Me? Are you not? Women and men cannot be friends. No, I'm just kidding. No, Jesse is a guy. Okay. November 13th, at the Reputation release party in New York City, Taylor is seen wearing a Pisces constellation ring, because of course she is, and a snake ring. So, all right. On November 13th, a fan asked Taylor to thank Joe for inspiring the love songs on Reputation, and she flipped her hair, smirked, and said, oh, I will. I just don't want to read this anymore.
Honestly, I'm hating from, what is it, the below Cringe Mountain. You got to climb Cringe Mountain to be free, and I'm definitely being a bit of a hater in the back looking at the cringe.
Yeah, I am as well. And it's like, no, it's okay to be cringy. It's okay to be a cornball. It's okay to love shit and act cringy. It really is. I'm not saying
unapologetically love stuff. Yeah,
yeah, we're honestly, I'm very for that. Like, I unapologetically just dive deep into everything I ever get interested in a very cringy way. Like, we're not saying any of that, but it's just, God, some of these, the way these quotes come off, it's so millennial 2016, 2017 cringe. It just is. And I can't read it without sort of having a physical reaction to it.
Oh yeah. It's the secondhand embarrassment. I get it. I don't hate it. It's just making me feel a way.
Okay. Here's something that actually happens. November 23rd, Taylor and Joe spend Thanksgiving together with her family at a restaurant in Utah. This is posted on Reddit. This is interesting. They said, random encounter with Taylor that became even more random. I'll be honest, I don't know much about Taylor Swift. I'm told that's impossible. I obviously know of her, and that's the extent of it. I work at a restaurant in a vacation town that shall remain nameless, but we see our fair share of celebrities. I came in tonight and was told that a bodyguard had called in a reservation for a high profile female guest. We were not told who it was. There are some very private areas in the dining room, and tonight we dedicated an entire floor to our mystery dinner. The small group arrived soon after we opened, and I went up to greet them, still having no idea who it was. Lo and behold, it was Taylor, her family, and a gentleman she was obviously seeing romantically.
Interesting.
So somebody said, what constitutes obviously seeing romantically? Were they sharing their pasta Lady and the Tramp style? And this person responds, there was that, and also just a brief exchange of vows while receiving matching tattoos and signing a prenuptial agreement. But who knows? Maybe they were just good friends. And then they said they were holding hands throughout the dinner.
I hope that, I'm pretty sure they're joking, but that's very intense. Trying to be sarcastic.
Dumois inside source. As right. to why she's so convinced Taylor got Joe got married, because this person made a sarcastic comment about serving Taylor and Joe at a restaurant. Somebody posted, does anyone else's heart skip a beat when you realize she spends nearly the entire album talking about how he's there for her and helps her and loves her, and then closes the album with New Year's Day, which is literally a love letter to him to let him know she's there for him too, and she's not going anywhere. That's love. And then they said, Taylor liked this and all is well with the world. That's kind of funny, because like, to me, we talked about New Year's Day in the last episode. Like, it is please don't read the last page. Please don't break up with me. She's begging him.
So, yeah.
Kind of interesting. But, you know, I guess Taylor sometimes didn't even see those sides of those songs.
She
you know?
Proved it with denial, right? She put all those songs in denial. And I think her liking a lot of these posts really just hammers home that theme. I think she realizes it now, 5 years later.
Okay,
Or six.
December 7th, Joe has just wrapped a film and he flies straight to New York City since Taylor's there to perform at the iHeart Radio Jingle Ball the next day. On December 8th, they're seen arriving at her Tribeca apartment after her performance at Jingle Ball. And then a fan tweeted about meeting Joe in the audience. They said, "He's so nice. We met Joe. He's so fucking hot. Wow, I need air. He's so cute. I'm dead. I'm so happy for her. He's so nice as well. Oh my God, bless him." During Taylor's set, Joe's seen in the audience filming her during Shake It Off. Stefflin Dawn's Instagram story, Joe's wearing a gray Reputation cap with his arm around Taylor. This is the video where Tree comes up and grabs his arm and puts it around Taylor.
Oh, yeah. I could see her doing it in the screenshot.
So that is weird. I've never understood that, except, listen, people are out of the party. Who knows whoever is doing what? You know what I mean? Like, I just, I don't, you can't read that too much into, like, one instance of, like, body language analysis. A really good example of this. Have you watched the documentary about Alex Jones?
Probably not. I know of, obviously, Alex Jones, but I have not watched a documentary on him.
It's called The Truth Versus Alex Jones, and it's about how the parents of the victims of the Sandy Hook mass shooting, school shooting, he basically said it was like a false flag organization.
Yeah,
and he spent
I do know that.
Years fucking harassing them, and they all sued him, and this is about that. But like, one of the main things he hones in on, the first parent to ever give an interview was like one of this little girl's dad. And of course, the little girl's dad, it's very fucked up. And he's like having to go talk to the press about it. And he said, "I'm going to do this because all of the parents are kind of getting hounded. So if one of us will just put out a statement, it will kind of give the press something to do and like kind of take the pressure off all of us as a group. So I'm going to do this." He walks up to the podium and he's obviously like very nervous, and he laughs a very obvious, like nervous, uncomfortable laugh, and says, "This is my first time doing this. What do you guys want me to do? Like, do you want me, should I just start?" And then he starts talking about his daughter, and then he starts crying. So of course, the way, like, to me, this, I read this is like, yeah, it's weird. It's like kind of funny to like laugh when your kid is dead and it's just,
you're
okay,
uncomfortable. I'm here doing a press conference. Like, it's, I just want to mourn and grieve. And this is silly.
Right. It's like, you can tell this guy's uncomfortable, and you can tell it. There's just a beat where it's just like, I can't even believe I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I'm giving a press conference because my kid is dead. And there's just this sort of disbelieving, uncomfortable, awkward laugh. And Alex Jones honed in on that and harassed that guy for years and years, saying he was an actor because of the way, like, oh, this is my first time doing this. Like, and I see that, and I'm like, okay, I can understand like how that one instance, if you're not capable of critical thought and you read that situation literally, it comes off as like, oh, that's an actor. I can understand, but it's very obvious, like, once when you know the first thing about like human nature and you know about grief, and like, I have a laughy smiley reflex. If somebody tells me bad news, I will let out a chuckle. It's true. I don't know. My dad does the same thing. Like, I must have picked it up from him. But like, if you know that like human nature is just complicated and complex and confused, like we do things that we kind of have these reactions to certain scenarios and like new scenarios. And it's just very, no, it's like, no, like, his kid is really dead, and obviously there are tons of police records and there's all sorts of evidence that this is a real thing that happened. And this one sort of quirky instance of human nature and body language, yes, like, if you look at it in a vacuum, it's a little weird, but like, if you pull out and be like, no, awkward laugh is a thing, like, being nervous is a thing, like, it all makes sense. And I just feel like, when I saw that bit of it, I was like, fuck, like, so many Larry's, Gaylor's, like, all of us that read too a little too much into body language, it's like, you are losing the thread. Like, there are a billion reasons for humans to do dumb, quirky little things.
Yeah. And I think at this point, Tree and Taylor are probably, you know, obviously publicists and, you know, boss publicists, but they've probably transcended into a friendship. And I, you know, I could see that as maybe Tree just being like, oh, come on, Joe, show her some love. It's, you know, it's just that it's okay. As a publicist, like, you can do it.
Yeah, like, show your girl some love. And but you know, it's kind of funny. It's like, people say it means he's her fake boyfriend. I say it means like, maybe Joe has a problem showing affection.
Exactly. That's my thoughts too.
you know, it's an interesting little beat. And I'm not saying it doesn't come off as a little weird, but the same way that dad, like, yeah, it came off as a little weird. But the second you like use your brain and you're like, what's more likely, that he had an awkward, nervous laugh at an uncomfortable situation, or the entire Sandy Hook school shooting is a false flag operation? Like, shut the fuck up. You
Too
know what
many,
I mean?
Yeah. Wait, it's all the hoops to jump through to get to the answer. And if the more hoops you have to jump through, the crazier it is.
But also, there are other like pictures and videos from that night where they're watching Liam Payne and Ed Sheeran's performances, and somebody's talking about how they're swaying, dancing to the song Perfect. There is pictures of them with their arms around each other, and Tree is not involved. So it's just like, I don't know what Tree was doing, but you know, maybe she's just saying, give your girl a hug. Like, it's okay, you know. I've always seen Tree as like kind of like a cool older sister to Taylor, or like an auntie, or like kind of a mother figure. So I just can see it being like,
yeah, same.
Give your girl some love. You know, I'm not going to read into it too much. Another fan talked about meeting Taylor backstage at the show and says they saw Joe in her dressing room. They said he was in her dressing room chilling and Taylor came out. The door was open for some time, long enough for Joe and me to have eye contact. I really felt a friendship happening right there. Then the door closed sadly. It's fine, because while looking him in the eyes, I felt like he was saying to me, good luck, you'll die, but I would love to shake hands someday. Swifties reading into all sorts of scenarios. On December 13th, Taylor spends her 28th birthday in London.
In Joe.
On December 13th, Taylor spends her 28th birthday with Joe in London, and a video of her cake is later included in the Lover lyric video. December 14th, Taylor's Todrick is asked about Taylor's relationship with Joe. He says, she's the happiest I've ever seen her. I love it. December 22nd, Joe takes a picture with a fan at a train station in London. His jacket is the same one that Taylor is wearing in the Rep magazine. That's cute.
That is cute.
I love little moments like that. Is it the same jacket?
It's the same checker pattern. It looks the same. It's hard to tell.
Because hers has like that scoring on it.
I know. And I can't really tell on his because of the light in the train.
No, I think it does. I think it is the same. I think it's the same one.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. It looks pretty similar anyway. But okay, cutes. December 28th, Joe is papped at the LAX airport, arriving in the States 3 days before New Year's Eve. He's looking very smug. On December 31st, they spend New Year's Eve together and have a small party in LA, which Jack Antonoff, Claire Winter, and some other friends attend. And this is when we get that picture Claire Winter posts like years later. Joe's got his arm around Taylor, and Taylor's looking back at the camera and flicking it off.
It's cheeky. I love it.
Cheeky, cute, cute pic. And that is where we end 2017.
Amazing. Crazy. Roller coaster of emotions.
So Jeffy, any closing thoughts on the year 2017?
Just like we said, my God, so much content, so much stuff going on, so much to read into and look at their relationship. And I mean, it's just kind of crazy that this is literally only the beginning. Like, we have so many more years to cover and we know the outcome, but it's still crazy that there's so much to go through.
Yeah, guys, I guess the next time we talk here on the main pod, we will have the album. I have some ideas about some extra main pod episodes. Like, if you definitely want like album analysis, Patreon's going to be your best bet for that. But like, I have some ideas, you know, in the works about, we might break up the timeline a little bit, especially if there's crazy stuff to talk about at the album. And especially if there's Joe stuff to talk about on the album, we might have to kind of do like, if there's things from 2016, 2017 referenced in the album, we might have to kind of come in and like, not like recap the timeline, but talk about those things, those references, for and kind of put them in their place. So I'm so fucking excited. Obviously, we're gonna have a crazy week. If you're into it, go check out the Patreon. There's gonna be a ton of like Taylor and Joe content, and not just Taylor and Joe, obviously Taylor content and every type of content, because that's what we do for album weeks around here. We have a big party. And make sure and go follow Jeffy on Instagram.
Please,
and
everyone.
Yeah, with all that said, everybody, please stay safe in 2024. Please get registered to vote in 2024 and gaslight Geeky World Boss immediately.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.